turn to Revelation then. Chapter 11, we'll read together verses 5 through 8. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, we started before, forget when it was, there are some prior tapes for those that are new, and Hank will get the prior tapes for you, so it won't sound quite so radical. We're talking about Daniel's 70th week, making a straight line on the board, divided in half, and in the left segment, we call the three witnesses. My boy, we gain one. Praise the Lord. That's all we need, the three witnesses. And then Antichrist. On the right segment, it is our understanding that this is the week spoken of, 70th week of Daniel. It's also the week mentioned in Revelation 11. Now, of course, there's a lot of people that do not see things the way I see them. So I just merely, this is the way I see it, and I'm giving you the scripture for my reasons. And in any case, what we're saying applies, whether we've got the time right or not, it applies to us today. Starting, we, of course, done the other verses prior to this. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. We hold that this is the end time latter rain revival, and I think we're coming into it now. I don't think this is something way off in the future. I think we're coming into this now. I don't think God is speaking to us like He is to, for us to adjust to or play games with or anything of the kind. I believe the things that God has said are going to come to pass. Now, Dallas was kind enough to send us another tape by the same man in which he mentioned some things during 1982, especially during the latter part of 1982. And this is the same things that Pat Robertson said. And other people have a tremendous burden. Boy, either we're all imagining things, or we really are very close to dramatic change in our nation and judgment. And I thought I was very signal the other night on the CBS National News, on the national news. There's a man on there by the name of Bill Moyer who does a think piece like Eric Severide used to do. And he was commenting on Billy Graham. And I've always had the highest respect for Billy Graham. To me, he is one like A.B. Simpson and Andrew Murray and others that somehow have managed to make it through with great adulation and not be moved by success and not be moved by people. And I've always felt that Billy Graham, and still do, feel that he is one of the ones that God has used that has been able to stand true. But Billy Graham's recent comments that there is no persecution or significant persecution of the Christians in Russia certainly does not square with the things that we know. And so it was interesting that this was enough people have responded to this in dismay that Dan Rather and Bill Moyer felt that it was necessary for them to comment on it. And the comment was very penetrating. You know, I've said, and you've heard me say many times, if you don't know what's right in Christianity, the world will tell you. That's right. We love to do our little churchy bit and say everybody's of the devil but us. And then in the meanwhile, we sin all over the ballpark. And when the world is dismayed at it, we say, oh, they're of the devil, so it doesn't matter. Well, I don't feel that way. I listen to what worldly people say. As many times they can lay their finger right on the problem. And you remember it was the centurion, as hard as he was, that said this man was the Son of God. When the Pharisees, the great religious leaders, were saying, crying for his blood, the hardened Roman says, this is the Son of God. So, John, I listen to unsaved people. As many times their judgment is better than the church. And so what Bill Moyer had to say is something that I think, and with all due respect, if I were Billy Graham, which I surely are not, I would listen to with tremendous interest. Because he said, first, he gave a recital of the actual facts known to CBS of persecution in Russia and Protestant ministers in jail and the renewed, current, intense drive against religion, and pointing out, and he said, well, Billy Graham has been had. And then he said, why? And he said this. He said, because you can't sit down at the table of power and rise up unspotted. Rudyard Kipling had something to say about that in a poem called If. And it's true. And then he said this, and I tell you, if Audrey hadn't gone to the UFW, there'd have been two of us hollering around there. As it was, I hollered by myself in the front room. And this is what Bill Moyer said. He said, it's one thing to sit in the White House and in these places of power and to talk softly and to be politic. But he said, when a prophet comes from God, he comes out of the wilderness and brings judgment on the nation. Bill Moyer on the CBS national television. He said, Billy Graham's southern hospitality and desire to be nice gives soft words. And he says, that's what you do in Washington, and that's what you do in Moscow. But when God sends a man, a prophet, he comes out of the wilderness, and he brings judgment. Man, I could hardly contain myself, because Audrey and I have been praying for righteousness in the government, righteousness in the schools, and righteousness in the media. And I said, God, that was a right. I was so tempted to write to Bill Moyer, tell him he's got a secret admirer. I tell you, he can preach that any time he wants to. But you see, when the church is all befuddled and can't tell which is their elbow and which is their shoulder, it takes a man of the world, highly paid, with his think piece to just lay it out. When the prophet comes, he'll bring judgment. So I do dearly praise God, for that is a sign to me that God is working in the consciousness of the people of the world. Because CBS, sometimes I'm persuaded that all we're listening to is brainwashing. And that they would actually, God is actually answering prayer. You can hardly believe it when you hear it, you know. So my prayer since for Billy Graham is that God, I want this man to finish his course with joy. He's done a tremendous, tremendous. And Lord, we just praise you right now for Billy Graham, Lord, and we pray that you will cause him to finish his course with joy. Lord, cause his end to be as glorious as his beginning. And don't let him get off, Lord. Keep him on target, Lord. And if he's been had, we pray you'll bring it to his attention, Lord. He'll repent publicly and dramatically.
Yes.
Praise your name. Do good to your servant, Lord, that has done so much good for people. Lord, keep him from the wicked one. And give him a clear head and a clear spirit. And cause him to cry the word of the Lord, whether he's in Moscow or Washington, D.C. Be merciful to your servant, Lord, and deliver him from the snare of the fowler. And we give you praise, Jesus. So we find, and I think, man, I mean, David Wilkerson and this guy in Dallas and Roxanne Brandt and everybody and his brother and his sister can't be wrong. The spiritual people are all saying it's on us, and it's on us now. And even Lisa joins the group. All right. But notice that in the, at least as I understand it, for this 1,203 score days, for the first half of the week, while there will be great tribulation, as I understand, I think this whole week's going to be a week of tribulation. Let's see what it says about it again. It's in Daniel 9. The week is mentioned, I think, in verse 27. See what's going to happen during this week. This is the last week. And you know, if we're correct in this, this is when the prophetic clock starts ticking again, which means that God's attention during this week will be focused dramatically on Israel as a nation, on the Jews as a people. All right, so he says in Daniel 9:27, and this is the week, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So it's going to be a week of salvation. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, the oblation is a grain offering. And we told you that the two witnesses refer to Pentecost, right? Because you go back to Zechariah 4, and he says, what do these two witnesses mean? He says, what does the olive trees mean in the last day? It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That's Pentecost. All right, how many know what Pentecost was? It was a grain offering. It was the wheat. Pentecost represented the end of the wheat harvest. And the two great loaves were offered. So in Daniel 9:27, the oblation is a grain offering. He shall cause the sacrifice and the grain offering to cease. And then for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. And remember, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolations stand in the holy place, then let him that is in Jerusalem flee, because then shall be tribulation such as there has never been. See? So that ties in there. Even until the consummation. Now, the consummation of this week of Revelation 11 is the coming of the kingdom of God, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, that's what's going to happen during the week. All right, now notice when the witness is going on in Revelation 11, verse 5, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. And this may be literal, but I tend to think it's the kind of thing that happened, like when Paul, remember, what chapter is that in Acts, where Paul was, the deputy was withstanding Paul? Where was that? Someone find that and read it. Someone find that and read it. Now, I didn't do my homework here good enough. It's where Paul and Elymas.
Yes, 13.
All right, fine. Read that, Stan. Acts 13.
Elymas the magician?
Right, Elymas the sorcerer. And it starts Acts 13:8.
I'll be reading
it. All right.
But Elymas the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You are full of all deceit and fraud. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand.
So there is an example in the book of Acts, a little foretaste of what's going to be true in the end time in God's people. See, it's no longer they just helpless, but I think this is the fire. This is what it means. There came forth from Paul judgment, and it came out of his mouth. See, Paul spoke that, and he said, now the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind. And Peter spoke to Ananias. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? See, it's with the mouth. And it didn't just happen until somebody spoke it. Now, all right, if this is the sort of thing that's going to be going on in the days in which we're living, in the immediate future, and Bill Moyer, by his words, gave testimony that this is what is needed. See, God will cause unsaved people. He'll cause anybody to bear, to speak His Word, to speak out the mind of God. And what He's saying is recognizing intuitively, this is what is needed. Not soft words, not conciliation. He comes and He brings judgment. See, that I believe that was really God. We've been praying, God, bring righteousness over the media. And I believe God had him say that. You see, that's what God is saying. You're not going to straighten up until you get it. You're not going to get it with all this soft talk and conciliation and appearances of religious liberty and politics between Washington and all this stuff and propaganda and big religious leaders. Isn't going to do it. You're going to have to a guy come and say, you're not going to see for a season when you begin to resist the testimony. Now, this is God. This is the way God works. Praise the Lord. And devours their enemies. It's going to be much worse, I believe. A much more powerful revival is upon us than the revival of the book of Acts. And you can have some imagination and concept of what kind of people will be involved in this revival. Because who do you know could be trusted with this kind of power? See, we're apt to act out of pique, out of self-righteousness, or just because somebody crosses us. Well, God can't have people around with this kind of power who are going to lash out and with the keys of hell and death and just be going destroying people because they're inconvenienced. Or because they feel rotten that day, or they're not getting their own way. You've got to have people who are so deep in the Lord that they do not judge, that they know what is going on in the spiritual realm, and they personally are not angry. They personally are not administrating judgment like this. And I think that's one reason why the terribly detailed dealings of God with us today, over every bit of our psyche, the way we think, the way we react, our motives. If there's any trace of self-pity, God boils that thing. Any trace of self-destruction or murder or the million and one subtle little quirks that go to make up our personality, God is after them. And He keeps contriving situations that keep bringing these out and teasing them out so that we can see them and deal with them and say, oh Lord, thank you for showing me that. Oh Lord, thank you for showing me that. And sometimes it gets beyond that and we just say, oh God, help me because something's wrong with me and I don't even know what it is. And do something. Have you been experiencing that? Praise the Lord. Well, I know for sure God is not going to entrust us with monumental power of this kind until we're pretty reliable. Doug.
What was the deal with Elisha and 42 children?
42 young men. All right. Now, I was going to be getting to that in just a minute. All right. If any man will hurt them, I'm going to this. This is what is next on the agenda here. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed, that is, by judgment. So many things happen over which we have no control, where Christians are injured sometimes by other Christians, by the church and everything, and we're just powerless. We just wring our hands and say, oh God, do something. Well, I think the day is upon us when we know what we're doing in the Lord, when we say, Jesus, I claim this power in your name. Do this. Stop this. And see, we're not used to this. We're used to only blessing. We're not used to cursing. And you remember when James and John tried to do that, Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. And so see how the times change. This was interesting on this tape. Hank will be running off some copies. We got permission from the radio station to run copies of these as long as we didn't use them for fundraising. And Kay and Walter have this fourth tape right now. But the Lord told our brother that 1982, there will be a change of season. And he said, do you mean political, religious, spiritual, economic? What are you talking about? And the weather? And the Lord said to him, everything. And this guy's been batting 1,000 in his prophecy. He's really been batting 1,000. Gold is below $400 an ounce. And when he prophesied, it was $800 an ounce. It's below 400, just like the Lord said. And the inflation in 81 that he prophesied did come to pass. It was covered because of the glut of oil. But there was an increase of money. And so he's got it all documented and everything. It's what drove the interest rates up and everything. There was that, but it wasn't apparent because of the depression of oil prices at that time. And the guy, as far as I can see, following the stuff that said and the quotations that he gave from the Wall Street Journal and the other thing, is batting 1,000. He's batting 1,000. And he says, the Lord said that in 1982 there would be a change of season, that everything would change. Everything that he had mentioned would change, even in the weather, that there would be summer when it was supposed to be winter, and there would be winter when it was supposed to be summer and everything. And so things can change in the spiritual realm. I can remember the change from Pentecost to the charismatic move, Pentecost to the latter rain. I can remember the change that came in the spiritual realm. So there comes changes in the spiritual realm. And here, right here in the Bible, it tells us that in the end time, just... And do you know what the setting of this is, time-wise? This is the time of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. Because it starts in chapter 10, and is the trumpets, the observance of trumpets starts in 8. But when you get to chapter 10, he says, 10 verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So we've always said we're in the end time. We are in the last trumpet. Then this is when these destructive miracles take place, and we can look for it. Out of the mouth of Bill Moyer, judgment, I believe it, saints. And we've got to be prepared to administrate it. I can remember a day of my Christian experience when I would have been saying, oh joy, about 30 years ago. Just think of that. We go out and zap people. I don't feel like that anymore. I think I can see what God is after. And you know, when you wield a two-edged sword, just remember, it has two edges. It has two edges. As we judge, we are judged. It cuts coming and going. And if we're not in the place where the sword can't hurt us, we can't wield it. You cannot exercise God's judgment upon lust when your heart is filled with it. You can't exercise it upon the things that are going on in the nation if they're going on in your own life. So the people that do this judging will be people who have been judged prior. And we see that, don't we? In the first verse of this chapter, we find before this can be done, there is a judgment. Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. What he's measuring is the witness. And that is why God has been dealing with us in judgment over these years. Because when we go out and we begin to pronounce, you say, oh boy, you know, we pronounce this and we say there'll be judgment and 100 people are slain. And what are you judging them for? Because they're wicked and they don't serve God. Are you serving God? And if not, it'll come right back on you. come right back on you. So I see it in quite differently than I saw it in Bible school. It's a monumental responsibility. And we must have been through a lot of pain ourselves before we're going to bring pain on other people. Because it's no fun to hurt. So we're not talking about nonsense. We're not talking about causing people injury and death while we go off and giggling somewhere. We're talking about standing in the middle of the whirlwind, in the fire of God, and pronouncing the word of God as Elijah did. Let fire come down from heaven upon you and your 50. 50 fathers and brothers, daddies, husbands were incinerated at his word. Before he was through, there was 102 men burned to death. And these kind of miracles will be done in the end time. And they will not be done with a bunch of charismatic foolishness. They'll be done by people who have suffered so much that, one, they don't care what happens to themselves, and two, who have a heart for the human tragedy that is being brought about by their prayers. These have power to shut heaven. Now, this is, let's go back and read that about Elijah. That was another one I hadn't planned on talking about. But Elijah and Elisha are probably the two strongest types of the two witnesses. Now, Elijah is in 2 Kings. Now, I think Elijah... Where is that? Somebody look up that thing on the where the fire came down. That would be a good one for us to read, because this is the type of thing that's going to appear in the ministry of the two witnesses. It probably is in 1 Kings. The Mount Carmel thing is in 1 Kings 18, but where's this thing where they sent the soldiers after him? I guess it was Ahab sent the soldiers after him. Yeah, 2 Kings, first chapter. But Ahaziah. Now, Israel at this time was in a tremendous apostasy, and Elijah was standing alone, of course. They're looking for his head. And they found him, verse 8. They answered him, 2 Kings 1, verse 8, describing Elijah. He was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." How do these two witnesses minister? How are they dressed?
Sackcloth.
In sackcloth. Now, this probably stands for repentance, but look at the difference in that and the Christian ministry of today. Cadillacs, Lincolns. You go to a Christian breakfast, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to go to some of the full gospel men businessmen. $7. Who can afford to go spend $7 for breakfast? I don't eat 50 cents worth of food for breakfast. Only the rich can afford to go to it. You know, yeah, the people that run these things ought to be sensitive. All you're going to get is the middle and upper middle class. How are you going to get some poor person in an economic time such as this, if you've got $5 for your luncheon or $8 for your lunch? That's fine if you're middle class or upper middle class. But you take poor people, man, that'll why that's groceries for 2 days for them and their kids. It won't be so in the end time witness. The gospel always has been to the poor. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Jesus said, "Go tell John, the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Praise the Lord. We have a breakfast for people that ought to be free. We're on a free will offering or something. Man, how in the world can you afford $6 for breakfast? $6.95 for breakfast.
$12 for a lunch, $15 for a Christian dinner. You have to be wealthy to go to the thing. What kind of man was this Elijah whom we aspire, to whom we aspire to his faith? A hairy man. He's living like Tarzan. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, went up to him, says, "Thou man of God, the king has said, come down." So he's going to order him around. "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire and consumed him. I don't know, maybe that meant they were incinerated. Maybe they were vaporized. Maybe they just fell over. It says they were consumed. But my point is, there was 51 people there, human beings, who were caught between the king and Elijah. That's a human tragedy. It's no joke. There were 51 widows in Israel that day. Orphans. Families weeping and wailing. Again also he sent him another captain of 50, and he answered, said unto him, "O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly." First guy said, come down. This guy is bold. "If I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume thee and thy 50. 102 widows. The ground strewn with dead before Elijah the prophet. That's the two witnesses. That's the way they're going to minister. Say, how can you bring the gospel that way? Let me tell you this. As long as Elijah was alive, the people of Israel knew there was a God in heaven. As apostate as they were, they knew from Elijah, because of the way he lived, that there was a God in heaven. You know something? Elijah didn't write anything. You know. He didn't write like Isaiah. There's no account that he didn't go out and preach. He didn't get converts. You know, not only that, Dan, that's right. That's right. He not only lived it, he was it. He was it. And you know, it's true today. People aren't moved by the talk. They're moved by what is. And God wants his church to be something. And it's not all mouth either. It's not all mouth. The testimony of the two witnesses, I believe, it doesn't even say what they preached. It says they shall prophesy. Elijah was a prophet. You know, what did he prophesy? There will not be any rain except according to my word. He didn't teach. He didn't make converts. He didn't teach the children. He didn't preach the law of Moses. He didn't do a thing. He just was. Oh, God, if we need anything in America, it's people who are. So that when you look at them, Doug, it isn't what they say. It isn't even what they do. You look at them. You know that if you went up and tried to tempt them to fornication or lying or stealing, you know somehow that you're looking at righteousness personified. And you know, godliness is something that you can feel. Like you almost know, looking at a guy, what you can do and what you can't do. Whether you can tell him a dirty joke or whether you can't. We can feel it within ourselves. Like Bill Moyer says, these men come out of the wilderness. They bring judgment. That's what America is waiting to hear. Men, you can sing them love songs and tell them how much God loves them. You can even heal the sick. You can, well, they'll say all you want is money. You can do what you want to. What they're looking for is somebody who is. Who just by looking at them going down the street, you say, oh God, I better straighten up my life. That's what the two witnesses is all about. Clothed in sackcloth. They're not hauling big offerings. They have no part with money. A last end time witness to the world. And I believe they are going to be witnesses who are. Just like Elijah. Didn't write a book, didn't give you any instruction, didn't tell you what to do. It was just the fact that he was living that made people know God wasn't dead. If Elijah hadn't been living, there would have been no testimony in Israel whatever. from the king on down, as far as they know, God was dead. But as long as there was one man, and you remember when it says when Samuel came into town, the elders trembled. Praise the Lord. The elders trembled. When Naaman the Syrian went home, there's the little maid in his house. And it said, what will he do about this leprosy? What will he do about this? The master of the house has leprosy. There's a prophet. There's a prophet. Not a God, not Israel is God's people or anything. There's a prophet. You know, God only needed one. God only needed one. All I think America really needs is one. If we had one. Just one. As long as there's one man alive like that. That's did it. Elijah did no miracles while Elijah was alive. Branham used to say that. He used to say, as long as I'm living, there'll be no one else with the same anointing. Yeah, he claimed that. Well, if you go through, you don't find two Noahs at the same time, two Abrahams at the same time, two Isaiahs at the same time, two Daniels. It seems like God has one guy in the world. Really? That you go through the Bible, you didn't have two John the Baptist at the same time. It's a funny thing about that. But you've got to, you don't need more than one, but you've got to have one. All right, so I said that of all the patterns of two witnesses in the Bible, like Joshua and Caleb and Elijah and Elisha and so on, Elijah and Elisha are the two strongest. And of course, Elijah's ascension typifies the ascension of the two witnesses. But the strongest type, far and away, is Elisha. Man, he is the type. Alright, now we go to the one that Doug was after here. It's in 2 Kings 2:24, where he dealt with the juvenile delinquents. Oh, this type is so rich, saints. It is so rich. Better than brownies. All right, 224. Well, 223. Oh, man, we can read about the crucible. What we want? All right, now, 223. And he, this is Elijah, went up from thence unto Bethel. He was on his way to the house of God, say, Bethel. And as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children out of the city. Well, the word isn't little children, it's young men. What is this? Young men came out and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Now, Jewish children were always taught to reverence their elders. So these kids were bad actors here. These were bad actors. Bad news. So you could see the apostasy of Israel at that time. Well, we'd have the same thing in our day, wouldn't we? Because we have the same disrespect. We have the same attitude from our younger generation toward the leaders. Sure. So we sure do. You know, the president is that's called by his nickname, whatever, and governor's by his nickname, it's Ronnie this and Donnie that and whatever, you know, it's no respect. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. It's the power of the two witnesses to curse. Now here's your tremendous type. And there came forth two she-bears. See, the two witnesses. Two she-bears and tare 42 children of them. 42 months, 3.5 years. Right? Destruction on those who would despise authority and despise the word. You say, boy, how horrible. I don't know. I'll take this over what's going on today. I'll take this over what's going on today. Every time you turn around, either children are being prostituted, or unborn infants are being murdered, or some guy shot his mother, or he shot his mother and his father and his sister. And what are the courts do? The courts are so glutted with guilt, all they do is just have a continuance and a continuance and 10 years and they still have a continuance. Dan?
Yeah, they turn that lady loose, well, they're going to turn her loose, she wait and see the woman that shot her
son in the head. Yes. Because they said she was insane at the time. They're going to reevaluate her, I think, tomorrow or the next day and see if she's still sane.
Justice has fallen in the streets. And we say we don't like this, but saints, until we have it, our world is going to go to hell. Because the courts aren't going to get any better. And the governments are so busy playing politics, they don't know, and they're all afraid of each other. This is what it's going to take to turn the world around. This kind of thing here. Right here. Say, I don't like it. This is life. It's the only thing that'll turn it around. And God has done it in history before, and He's going to do it again. Alright, that was one type. Now another type is 2 Kings 13:14. How many know that Elisha did not have any faith at all? How do we know he didn't have any faith? Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14. Now Elisha was falling sick. Oh, I love it. Thank God for it. That puts an end to the faith message right there. It shoots it in the head with Elisha's arrows where it ought to be shot. This man had twice the portion of Elijah, who was carried up to heaven and didn't even die. Had twice that anointing and died sick. I love it. Dying sick or getting sick or feeling rotten is no sign you're out of God's will. You're not anointed. So forget it, because that's a bunch of capers, people that don't even know the Lord, using their cues and their omens and God knows what else. Elisha was falling sick, and he was good and sick and enjoying every minute of it. Yeah. All right. Whereof he died. In and see, this is a type that the witnesses, even though they had the double portion, were what? Overcome. You say, how, if Elijah's anointing was so powerful that God carried him to heaven, how in the world could sickness overcome twice that anointing? You know, Smith Wigglesworth was sick with kidney stones for years. Years! He wasn't healed until he was around 80. Passing kidney stones. Pray for the sick, and the sick get healed 2 or 3 services a day. Go up to his bedroom and pass kidney stones. See, it doesn't work neat. I touch you and touch you and touch you and touch you and touch you, and we all got faith and we're all healed. That's not God. That's the cutesies. You can't tell God when you're going to be sick and when you're going to be well. And God made the man sick for a type. So the sickness got right through the anointing, got right past it. And anytime God wants to get past your anointing, he'll get past it too. That's right. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. Now, certainly he had faith, but faith isn't something for us to wield. Even the Bible is not something for us to wield. The sword of God is the sword of the Christian, right? It's the sword of the Spirit. That's right. It's the Spirit that uses the word, not the Christian. That's right. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father. Well, he was respectful anyway. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He was referring, I think, to the time that Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of Gehazi and the mountains were full of horsemen and protection around Elisha. And I think if our eyes were open, it would be very interesting today. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot! And he shot. And he said, The arrows of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote three times and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And saints, God is telling us things today. And when he tells us something, and we know it's God, and God help me on this one, boy, don't hit the ground three times. Hit it. You know, just keep on hitting it. Fill it to the brim, boy. Fill it to the brim. Don't try to cut the middle of the thing. When God shows you something, you know it's the Lord, give it your best shot. Don't play around. If he had of, he'd have been totally victorious. Instead, he nearly was an overcomer, but he didn't quite make the inheritance. And notice in verse 20, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, not Elisha, but the man. He revived and stood up on his feet. Now this is the type that the witnesses were overcome, and then later they were revived and stood on their feet. Notice in verse 11 of chapter 11, they stood upon their feet. Now Elisha and also these are the two witnesses that stand before the God of the earth, verse 4. There were only two prophets in the Old Testament that used the expression, the Lord God before whom I stand. And one of them was Elijah, and the other one was Elisha. And no one else used this expression. Now, I don't believe that Elijah and Elisha are coming back to preach. If there were going to be two people from the Old Testament, as far as I'm concerned, these are the ones. But it's like Jesus said about John. He said, Elijah has come, but it was the spirit of Elijah on another man. It wasn't a reincarnation or Elijah come down from heaven. It was a spirit. And so I believe this is talking about the spirit on us, and not about these actual people coming back, because that wouldn't fit other things. All right, now notice in verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Now I believe this is both literal and spiritual, but do you realize that the power to stop rain is the power to cut off food, saints? Now you say, oh, God never would give us that kind of power, would he? All right, hold that place and turn back to James 5, verse 17. Someone read that. James 5, verse 17.
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months.
And then it says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Notice the 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years. And notice, see how strong the type is with Elijah and Elisha? And notice also that it is held up to us as an example of what to do. Because this isn't put in here as a historical footnote. This is put into us as an exhortation to our faith. And he's talking about faith, and he's talking about what to do. And he says, look, Elijah was a man just like we are. And he prayed, and look what he accomplished. See? So there's New Testament. All right. So if we had power right now in the church that we could shut up the rain in Russia, for example, because of the religious persecution that's going on in there, and it was known that there's going to be no rain in Russia until you open the doors to the gospel, how long do you think it would be before they would open the doors to the gospel? You could spend money by the billions, and you couldn't get in there and do anything but have the state put on a big show of religious liberty, when everybody who's on the inside knows that the Christians are being slaughtered and sent to Siberia, $1 million wouldn't do it. But if there was one Christian in the world, just one, and we have the example in James that this is the kind of thing we can do, if there was one person and God moved on them and they had the faith and they were able to send a telegram to the Kremlin and say there will be no rain in Russia except by my word. And God gave them power so that the Russians couldn't touch them. It would not be long before the doors were opened for the gospel, because no rain, no food. It would be tantamount to the destruction of the nation. That's the most powerful thing you could do to any people, is to stop rain, because with the rain, there's no agriculture, there's no food. And the doors would be open to the gospel. See, these things look like, we don't need these. Listen, if we had these, the answer of world evangelism would be in our hands. God knows what he's talking about. Hey, we're not talking about punishing people out of pique. We're talking about using the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. Now, Jesus said to us that whatever you bind shall be bound. And the power to bind is just as important as the power to loose. Praise the Lord. Now, we haven't used these keys, and thank God, because we've been too immature. We've been ruled by self and bound by sin. But God wants a people who are loose from sin and in whose hearts Jesus is ruling, who will begin to use the power to bind and to loose, to forgive sin. It's a very important authority. And to hold sin. It's a very important authority. Praise the Lord. There's enough power here to get the gospel of the kingdom to every nation. If the church had the power that's outlined here, we could preach the gospel in a year to every nation, because the earth would be subject to the church. And look at the things we try to do the job. Hold musical concerts. Boy, if we could just get our Bible school choir over there. Look at all the young people who come to the choir. That's our technique. God's technique is to give his saints the power to stop the rain. A little different, isn't it? Which one do you think is effective? Yeah. Well, look at the things we do. Oh, do this and do that. God, this is God's way. Another thing of equally destructive power. Power over waters that turn into blood. Now, you're not allowed any rain from heaven, and the water that's already on the earth is undrinkable. Man, there isn't how long would a nation stand if there was no rain and no available drinking water? About 3.5 days, not 3.5 years. Saints, I'm not reading to you out of Sears Roebuck. Yeah, people look glazed. How many would like to have the gospel of the kingdom to circle the globe? This is the way. Not gospel concerts. Not money. Not more missionaries. Though they help. This is the way. Binding heaven. How are we going to touch 100 million Chinese? All you'd have to do is have one person with this power. One person with the power to stop rain and turn waters to blood, and China would open to you. It opened to you, there'd be no more China. Huh? How many believe this is God's way? It's hard to take, isn't it? Saints, it's in the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me.
Amen.
I will give power. You are right, Paula. I will give power. I will give power. Power unto my two witnesses. These are God's witnesses. According to Zechariah 4, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is God's way for the end time. This is God's way to prepare the world for the coming of the Lord. And we are here. The Spirit is saying the time is now. This is the time. Why is God opening this? Because it's the time. We're prattling about a rapture. God is interested in rapture. He's interested in the gospel. I want to fly off to heaven. I want to be here when God does these things. I want to see these nations and see them feel the power of God. Not just all sugar and light, but to feel the power of Almighty God. And when they repent, God will open. Elijah prayed again, and the rains poured down. You know that shook Israel. And there were people there that were backslidden until it was dry for a couple of years. And then they began to wonder, what in the world? And all they could think of was, let's get even with Elijah. But you can be sure there was people all through Israel that prophesied. They knew there was a God, and that brought them up to the place on Mount Carmel. And all the prophets of Baal, oh God, Elijah says, take everyone, let them die. I say, boy, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, that's what's going to happen in the end time. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. See, they testified for 3.5 years. That's half of that last week. 7 years, 7 days. 3.5 years, and then comes Antichrist. He comes out of the pit. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we think of him a man coming out of a university. But he comes out of the bottomless pit. That's interesting. I don't understand all about that, except that this man will be filled with spiritual power of great antiquity. See, he comes out of Antichrist, comes out of the pit. Out of the pit. Shall make war against them, against God's witnesses, and shall overcome them. He could never touch them while God was giving his witness, but this is the end of the witness, and kill them. So as I understand what this is talking about, and comparing it with other chapters of the New Testament and the Old Testament, we're going to have a period of tremendous revival. I think these witnesses will do profitable things for people. Elijah and Elisha did, made food, water, oil. They did good things as well as the destructive things, and I believe these witnesses did, will, but God is emphasizing the negative because that's what our world is going to need, was what it needs today, according to Bill Moyer. He's just getting a commercial tonight. All right. But we can look forward then to the testimony, to the spirit of the testimony being lifted, and the saints being driven out of the cities of the earth and forced into hiding, so that the Antichrist, and that's what it means, I believe, in 2 Thessalonians when it says, he who restrains or hinders will restrain until he be taken out of the way, that is, out of the path. And this is the taking of the restraining power from the path of Antichrist. And then he shall be free to be fully revealed. You know, there's a man who's, according to the news, he came out of Iran and is now in London, who's been advertising all over the place that he's going to be revealing himself in 2 months. How many have read that or heard of it? You know, it's very interesting that this last fourth tape of this guy in Dallas was made in January of this year, January 27th, I believe. That was before this man made the announcement. Well before. And the Lord told this guy, there's a man coming. Watch for it. And this man from Dallas said, is he the Antichrist? And the Lord said, no, but one like him. And that was in January. And then the advertisements came in April and May, I guess, the first part of May. So the spiritual realm is on the move, saints. Huh? Well, this fellow's in London, according to the news. TV's in the London. He's in London, and he is going to be speaking in another couple of months. Boy, the preachers will have enough sermon material now for 2 years. Praise the Lord. Avarakahandala Vakahashiki Sili Aravahaya Ravakahasili Aravahaya.
Iki si li arabahandra lavahashi li arabahaya arabakahandra lavakahasi ki si li arabahaya. Hili arabahaya arabakahashi ki andaya kasi ki asi li arabahaya. Hili arabahandra lavahasi ki si li arabahaya arabakahasi liya. Iki si li arabahandra lavakahashi ki asi li arabahaya. Hili arabahaya arabakahandra lavakahasi li arabahaya arabakahasi liya. Iki shi ki andaya kasi ki asi li arabahaya arabakahasi liya. Hili arabahaya arabakahasi li arabahandra lavakahashi. Hili arabahandra lavakahasi li arabahaya arabakahasi ki asi li arabahaya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hili arabahaya arabakahasi li arabahandra lavahashi li arabahaya. Hili arabahaya arabakahasi li arabahandra lavahashi li arabahaya. Hili arabahandra lavakahasi li arabahandra lavahashi li arabahaya. Kili arabahaya arabakahasi li arabahandra lavahashi li arabahaya. Hiki shili arabahandra lavahashi li arabahaya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, we give praise unto you this night. We give praise unto you this night. We give praise unto you this night. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Abakahandala labakahasilia. Lord Jesus. Lord. Lord, we know the darkness is settling in, Lord. We can sense it. We can feel it, Lord. We know it from your prophets, Lord. Oh, I pray you will release us and deliver us, Lord, from all spirits, Lord, that are hindering our minds and are causing us, Lord, not to perceive the hour in which we are living. Lord, we need to hear your voice. We need to know what is going on. Release us and strip from us, Lord, the last vestiges, Lord, of unbelief and of spiritual blindness. Lord, cause us to see into the spiritual realm and to know, Lord, what you are doing. Deliver us, Lord, from the foolishness, Lord, the lightness that goes on. Deliver us from it and give us the fullness of the power of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, prepare us, prepare us, prepare us for that which is coming, oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, prepare us, Lord, for the darkness, prepare us, Lord, for the fight that is coming, Lord, hallelujah, 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 prepare us, Lord, prepare us, Lord, hallelujah, for the struggle that is coming, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we look unto you. We look unto you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ili arabahaya arabakahasiliya kasiliya arabahandara arabahasiliya. Oh, God, give us pure hearts, Lord. Pure hearts, pure hearts. Strip from us, Lord, that which would dampen our ardor, Lord. Cause us to be whole, Lord. Lead us not into the traps of the evil one sets, Lord. Deliver us from the snare of the fowler, Lord. Deliver us from the snare of the fowler, Lord. Deliver us from the snare of the fowler, Lord. Deliver us from the snare of the fowler, Lord. Lift from us, Lord, that which is not of you. Lift from us that which is not of you. Lift from us that which is not of you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift from us, Lord, the lightness and the foolishness. Lift from us the deception and the deceit and the delusion. Lift from us, Lord, that which is false. Hallelujah. Strip from us, Lord, the Antichrist spirit. Lord, cause us to behold the power of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, 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 send upon us, Lord, the Elijah, the Elisha anointing, Lord. Send upon us the fire of the God of Israel. Send it upon us, O God, that we may stand in the whirlwind and mark thy counsel, Lord. Hallelujah. Give us light, Lord, that we're not trapped in the darkness, Lord. Cause us to know the truth, Lord, burning into us, burning into our bones, Lord, burning into us, Lord. Cause us to see truly and clearly, Lord. We need your help, Lord. We need your help, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, God, hallelujah. Lord, we pray that the truth concerning religious activity in Russia will come forth. Lord, and we pray that Billy Graham will see it and he will know the truth. Bring out the truth, Lord. Bring out the truth, Lord. Lift this mask, Lord, and cause him to see, Lord, what is really happening. Cause it to be made worldwide, Lord. Frustrate this thing that has taken place. Hallelujah, Lord. Strip it bare for everyone to see. Cause it to be made manifest. Lift this darkness. Lift this love of ease. Lift this security from us, Lord, and cause us to see what is going on in the spiritual realm. Cause us to see the extent of the darkness. Cause us to see it and know it, Lord, that we may be aware, Lord, of what's going on and not be caught sleeping. Jesus, 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 open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, in truth, that we may truly see what's going on. Jesus, give us eyes to see, Lord. Anoint our eyes with eye salve, Lord. Anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see, I pray. Hallelujah. Anoint our ears that we may hear, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Cause us, Lord, to know what's going on. Give us, Lord, the keys of the kingdom, we pray. Lord, that we may be able to exercise the power of the witness, Lord. Hallelujah. And direct us in it, Lord. That the Holy Ghost may clothe himself with us, Lord. Hallelujah. Lighten the lampstand, I pray, Lord. To be a burning and a shining light, Lord. Give us the keys, Lord. We're powerless without them, Lord. We repudiate the works of men. We repudiate the futile efforts of the flesh, Lord. Give us the power of God, we pray. Jesus, that we may be able to shake this world. Shake the nations, Lord. Oh, God, raise up prophets. Raise up people who are, Lord, thy testimony. Oh, God, we're in need of prophets. Lord, our nation needs prophets, Lord. The world needs prophets. Lord, to come out of the wilderness, Lord, and bring judgment on the nations. Oh, God, the word has been spoken now. Lord, fulfill it, Lord. Fulfill it, Lord. Bring them out of the wilderness, Lord. Bring them out, Lord, to bring judgment upon the nations, Lord. They may stand in twice the power of the early apostles and shake the nations by the power of the Spirit. Oh, God, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, for the keys, we pray, Lord, for the keys, Lord. Make us ready, Lord, to turn them, to use them, to wield them, to carry them. Do the last finishing touches on us, Lord, that we may not fail our generation, Lord, but may bear a true and a mighty witness. Oh, God. Oh, God, our nation, Lord, is sunk in sin, like foolish children, Lord, with dirty faces. Oh, God, we need prophets, Lord. We need men of power, Lord. Bring righteousness into the media, Lord. Into the schools, into the government, Lord. God, we're a needy people.
We're a needy people, Lord. We're a needy people playing with toys, Lord. And the world is burning down around us, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. We need your help, Lord. There's no one can help except you. Lord, we don't look for big leaders. We don't look for big names, Lord. We cry unto you, Lord, to be exalted in the land, Lord. Oh God. Oh God. We're helpless, Lord, unless you move. God, we need your help. Oh God. Have mercy on this nation, Lord. Have mercy on this nation, Lord. Have mercy, oh God, have mercy. Don't let our nation go the way of Europe, Lord. Don't let it go the way of the wicked. Oh God, save this nation, Lord. Jesus. 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 Save our nation, Lord. Oh God, drive back the spiritual darkness, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll spear through the heart the God of money, Lord, the God of mammon. I pray, God, you will rip him from thigh to neck, Lord. Jesus, lay him bare, Lord. Spear this God, Lord, that has blinded your people, Lord. The God of money. I pray, Lord, you'll bring it down tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, you will crush it and bring it down and destroy this filthy God that raises itself up against the God of heaven. Jesus, 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 destroy the God of money in this nation, I pray. Bring it down, Lord, and cut off its hands and cut off its head, Lord. Jesus, it's such wickedness, Lord. It's such a false God. It's such a false God, Lord. It's such a false God. It promises security and it brings destruction, Lord. It's such a false God. Lord, expose it and bring it down, Lord, for the idol that it is. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, we're a needy people, Lord. Jesus. Jesus.
Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I could do nothing. Like a ship without a sail. Without him I can do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without the same. Oh, we love you, Jesus.
We're trusting you, Lord. Trust you that you hear us. We love you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Lord good to us. So wonderful to know that He hears us. I know He hears us. I know He's heard us tonight. Praise the Lord. The answer's on the way. Just keep plowing along each day. God hears us, knows the sincerity. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand then? We'll ask Paul Dillinger, if he will, to just conclude in prayer. Paula, do you need special?